The Alt Fantasy Sports Podcast is we're back. I'm a little rusty, y'all. The quarterback rankings edition of the Alt Fantasy Sports Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by SGPN subscribers only March Madness Bankroll Challenge. Feel free to enter and win up to $2,000 in prizes. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. And lastly, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Another season of Alt Fantasy Sports. We're back with the UFL. I think I need an updated graphics. That way it looks a little bit more UFL-ish and a little less XFL-ish. So no one thinks we're favoring one conference over the other. I'm Adam Pelletier, and joining me tonight, Fantasy Pros contributor Josh Shepherdson. Josh, welcome to the show. Thank you for making your time. How excited are you for a season of UFL football? I'd say another, but it's the first.
I'm just excited for spring football in general. I think the consolidation to one league will improve the quality of play. The rosters, I mean, just taking a glance and seeing the high caliber of players on across all eight teams is jarring. It's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
No, I mean, it's definitely been some big changes across the league. You know, we had a retirement today. Davis Cheek decided he was getting out of these streets. But I think that's, you know, that's probably because he looked around, he saw some of his competition and said, nah, fam, I'm good. I can't hang. And that's just it. You know, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks in particular, guys like Cole Kelly, Jalen Morton, and Drew Plitt kind of drop off the face of the earth. And some other talented players as well, just kind of hit the bricks or just said, I don't want that. And so I think it's going to be a good thing, though, because you got a good class of college players. You have more college players leaving the college ranks than ever with the COVID years finally expiring. So I think we're going to see some really good players end up in the UFL.
Yeah, and I mean, it starts at the top at quarterback. And if you just look at these rosters, the number of projected backup quarterbacks with starting experience in spring football is as high as I can ever recall. I mean, you've got, for instance, Brandon Silvers in St. Louis backing up A.J. McCarron. And it's like, that's a guy who started multiple games for Houston last year, got off to a fast start. And it's not just in St. Louis, it's across the rest of the league. And when you've got high caliber quarterback play, you're going to have a better product on the field. And I mean, it's just fitting that that's where we're going to start today is with the quarterbacks. I mean, this is some exciting stuff.
I mean, quarterback's the most recognizable position on a football field. Everybody knows the quarterbacks. Even if you just think they're a quarter thrower, they're the most important position. And spring football's no difference. You're going to go as far as your quarterback's going to take you in spring football. We've seen it time and time again. I mean, in 2020, we saw a highly talented New York Guardians roster severely limited by Matt McGloin through the first couple games of the season. And they finally started to hit their stride when they put Luis Perez in. And everyone's going to say, well, you downgraded to Luis Perez. You didn't, because Luis Perez understands what it means to go in and be a gamer. He's a guy who wins game in and game out. He's the spring football version of Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you have Luis Perez and you have a good roster, you can be competitive. And that New York Guardians team was a prime example of it. And these Arlington Renegades team, even last year, that won the XFL championship, massive example, because you know, Luis Perez didn't light the world on fire last year, but he was good enough and he kept that team in games and let the defense and running game do their thing. And now with another year in the system, he's going to be able to be far more productive because he really is a talented quarterback with a good arm, a good spring arm, I should say. It is not an NFL level arm. I love Luis Perez. He does not have an NFL level arm, but he can be a spring football god. And I think that's going to be good enough for him for the short term.
Yeah, and I mean, just the stark contrast before he got there in Arlington and just their complete inability to move the football up any points on the board, just getting to that level of competence, even middle of the pack was a huge step up. But by the end of the season, I mean, in the championship game, he was throwing darts. He was locked in, and I mean, I think that speaks to him getting familiar with the system and settling in. And as you said, he's got more time in there. He's familiar with some of his pass catchers. Not an easy task moving from one team to start the year with Vegas to in season joining Arlington and having that thrust onto your plate. And I mean, there's a few more quarterbacks in this league, namely one in Michigan who jumped in late in the season and should benefit from having some more time with his former teammates, although learning a new offense this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think Josh Love is going to be in for a big season here in Michigan. I really like, E.J. Perry.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm getting all mixed up. E.J. Perry came in big at the end of last season. I mean, he had a stellar game, you know, put up 15 and a half fantasy points. But just to kind of give you an idea of where you're looking right now. So, like, for me, I sat down and I charted the last three spring football seasons as far as stats go for quarterbacks. And five of the top six quarterback top fantasy points per game performances were XFL quarterbacks last year. It was Ben DiNucci, AJ McCarron, Quentin Dormady, Jordan Tamu, and Jalen McClendon were two through six. Number one was, of course, Alex Magoo down in Birmingham, and that just speaks to that. And, you know, J.M.R. Smith rounding out the top, just at the bottom of the top 10 in fantasy points per game when he was the starter in 2022 for the Birmingham Stallions. So like that opportunity there, but that's just kind of something I'm keeping in mind as we're getting ready to make this shift. Because the XFL was a more pass-happy league, so it's going to be interesting to see, does the UFL maintain the XFL's pass-happy identity, or are we going to see a split where the XFL conference is pass-happy and the USFL conference is more run-heavy?
I'm inclined to think that, generally speaking, it's going to be more of a pass-happy league, although, I mean, like DC, for instance, we know that they want to pound the rock. How much will that change now that Abram Smith tore his ACL? I mean, I would think they would still want to lean into the run as long as it's effective, especially since Te'amu was so efficient working off of an effective running game. But generally speaking, I'm expecting to see aerial fireworks for the most part from both the USFL and the XFL divisions.
Yeah, I think Te'amu's definitely got to throw the ball more, and I think they have a great receiver now in Kiki Coutee. I think Coutee's going to be a great weapon for them. Moving forward, I think he really elevates that DC pass catching core because he was a guy who had some success in the NFL. He was a talented guy and he shows open quickly, which is something that the spring quarterbacks really like. A spring quarterback wants a guy who's going to show open early, win on his route, and Kiki Coutee, assuming he doesn't do what a lot of NFL washouts do, which is just absolutely shit the bed. Mm-hmm. I got nothing else for that. Like, we all saw Martavis Bryant last year, just completely no show. I mean, I have a friend who's like, I'm done getting hyped over NFL bounce back receivers because it doesn't work. Josh Gordon might be the exception more than
even he got some cross looks and shouting from Ben DiNucci last year, cutting some routes short, loafing a couple times. I remember DiNucci just lighting into him on a misfire last year. And I mean, Geronimo Allison's another example of a guy who just kind of laid an egg. But at the other end of the spectrum, I mean, Corey Coleman went nuts last year for the Stars, which was great. So really, it feels like it's an all or nothing proposition for these former NFL receivers that end up in spring football. Either they're going to put their best foot forward and they're going to play at a level higher than we're typically seeing from many of the top receivers at that level, or they're just going to kind of mail it in or decide halfway through the season to kind of just pack it in and not perform at the level that they need to. But I do like Kiki Kuti. I'm a little bit worried about all the turnover in BC's receiving room for Jordan Te'amu. His top three receivers last year are all gone, so he's going to need a little bit of time to maybe build that rapport with his new pass catchers. But generally speaking, I do like the weapons they have there. Marquez Stevenson's another NFL washout, although his experience was more on the return side of the game. But they do have some talent there, so if they can establish some run for him to work off of, and he can build some rapport really quickly with his new pass catchers, Te'amu, you know, is a fantasy asset. But I'm a little bit more bearish, I guess, on his outlook than I expected to be. We saw what happened with Tampa Bay Bandits in 2022. Now, how much of that was Todd Haley and how much of that was not having the same level of pass catchers that he had last year with DC, I'm not sure. But he sandwiched two good seasons around one kind of inefficient, somewhat turnover-prone one, where he did end up losing some time to Josh Love, who we mentioned earlier, coincidentally. But it just I'd say Te'amu's in that probably not fair to say boomer bust, but closer to a boomer bust category than a guy that I feel entirely comfortable with at the top of the heap.
I mean, the thing that scares me off a little bit sometimes of Te'amu is that they're going to use Jalen McClendon around the goal line, yes, again, much in the De'Eriq King role. And that means they're also going to use him in the 2-point convert, 2 and 3-point conversion sets, which is going to be problematic for him as well. You know, but he does return Jazz Ferguson, a guy who has some potential and has had some upside before, you know, had an okay season with the Dallas Renegades in 2020, did less last year with the DC Defenders, but he's certainly a guy who has upside and we've seen him perform at least to a baseline level in the spring. But I think this is going to be a heavy tight end offense with Alex Ellis, Briley Moore, and Caden Smith. I could see them being heavily involved. And again, Puka Williams is back, and Puka Williams has some familiarity in that offense, so he might be involved as well down there. So we've had some good preemptive talk, but before we get into it, we got to thank a few folks with some ad reads here. We just want to talk about Merch Madness over at SGPN. 15% off everything in the merch store right now. Using code MADNESS at SGP at the Sports Gambling Podcast store. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get you some SGPN merch. They got it all. And I'm sure our UFL gambling podcast merch will be up there as well. Don't forget either that SGPN is currently running a subscribers only March Madness contest, free to enter. All you need to do is prove that you're subscribed to an SGPN show and you get an entry. You get a bonus for every other SGPN show that you're entered, that you're subscribed to. Winner takes home $1,000 cash prize. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers low vig and fully customizable odds so you can create your own bet. Cut handles the payment side so you never have to chase down anyone for money. Social features, you can group chat, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profile, fan groups, and more. And you can get rewards, get cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Right now, over on Cut, you got to get down on those first half unders. Smash those all day. So download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing app in the industry. Folks, the higher, lower pick'em game is fantastic. Every weekend, I love to just sit down, check out whatever sporting event I'm watching, and put down just 2-3 plays on it, pair them together and get that multiplier. And you know, I love a spicy play. I will always take the long shot spicy play, and I will always do this. It makes love using Underdog, love playing Underdog every weekend. whenever I'm watching sports, whatever sporting event I'm watching, I want to be on underdog playing it. And I love the cross sports. So I'll just throw down an NHL, NBA, NFL, and maybe they'll have some UFL. We'll see. So today you need to sign up with promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org. So, all right, Josh, let's talk here about some rankings. Okay, so let's start at the bottom. I mean, there's eight starters, okay, but there are going to be some guys who are going to be relevant. Okay, so let's start number 12. Okay, who's your number 12 quarterback right now heading into the UFL season?
This was a toss-up for me, but I'm going to start with Chase Garbers at 12. If Quentin Dormady struggles early, I think either Tom Flacco or Chase Garbers could end up getting a look in A.J. Smith's very pass-heavy, very creative offense. And at that point, I want connection to an offense. I want connection to passing volume or offensive creativity and point scoring. And so I have Chase Garbers in there, but Troy Williams was also a consideration. His legs are intriguing. While I like Case Cookus a lot, if he were injured or struggled again, Troy Williams is somebody with some experience. He played well at times for Pittsburgh last year. He made some inaccurate throws, but really you're chasing the legs here and hoping that some of his pass-catching weapons can bring more out of the arm this year.
I mean, I'm right there with you. I had Troy Williams at 12. Garbers is much further down for me in the 17, where I'm not even considering rostering him. Troy Williams, like you said, it's a leg play for me. I just think he's a guy who very well could end up seeing the field for 1, 2, and 3-point conversion plays. Remember, no point after kicks this year. The reason I can't get in on Garber or Flacco is I can't see a world where Dormady struggles this year. He was highly successful last year in Orlando, only throwing to Cody Latimer. And now he has Cody Latimer plus XFL superstar Jontre Kirkland, yes, Landon Akers out of the slot, Marquez Stevenson to go with Calvin Turner, TJ Vasher, and Jordan Vise. Like, that Brahma's receiving room is quietly stacked. And Cody Latimer is an air raid tight end. You know, if Josh Garbers or Tom Flacco get in there, I'm interested in them.
Yeah.
I just don't see Quentin Dormady relinquishing this job in any way, shape, or form. So that's why I got Troy Williams right there. Speaking of the air raid, though, Brandon Silvers has to go in at 11 for me. If he were on another team, there are three teams he'd be starting on right now over their current starter. I think he'd be the starter in Houston. I think he'd be the starter in Michigan. And I think he'd be the starter in Arlington. You know, I think it'd be a really good battle in Arlington, but he'd be starting for three UFL teams today. And if you can't get one of the seven guaranteed starters, take a shot on Brandon Silver and stash him, because it's football. AJ McCarron could get hurt, and a far more likely, AJ McCarron could get signed to an NFL roster.
See, that's it's funny because we're kind of in the same mindset. I actually have Silvers at 16th, but it's because it would take McCarron signing an NFL deal and leaving the league to see the field. But the weaponry in St. Louis is just absurd. I mean, just off the charts good. So basically, we're kind of in the same boat where I would put him up in 11th or 12th if I thought that there was any chance that he could overtake McCarron. But I think he's a priority handcuff. I don't usually want to handcuff quarterbacks, but if I have McCarron, I'm drafting Silvers, mm-hmm, because you just want that offense. You want those pass-catching weapons. And Silvers is certainly no slouch. He played well in A.J. Smith's offense last year with the Roughnecks before he got a little banged up and Cole McDonald got in there and stole some playing time late in the season. But I mean, with the weapons he would have at his disposal, he would undoubtedly, in my mind, be a top 5, maybe top 3 quarterback if he were thrust into any starting duty whatsoever.
I mean, St. Louis threw for 25 touchdowns last year,
yep.
And that was with one missed game by A.J. McCarron. It probably – A.J. McCarron could set a modern spring record and throw for 30 touchdowns this year. I think this team is going to run the ball less than 200 times on the season. That's my bold take heading into the season. They're going to throw it a ton, and they're going to rush it less than 200 times. So I think this could be a 450, 500 attempt offense.
We're on the same page there.
keep moving up. Who did you have at number 11?
I tied Tom Flacco and Chase Garbers together at 11 and 12. Wanting exposure again. If Dormady has, I mean, he had a couple wild hairs spurred up last season and some turnovers. If that's enough to get the ire of Wade Phillips or AJ Smith, maybe they get a shot. But like you, I like Dormady a lot, but I think the path to them getting on the field is a little bit clearer than, it's much clearer than Silver's. So that was basically where we differ.
Number 10, who are you looking at?
Adrian Martinez, only because I most recently saw some quotes from Skip that he likes all three quarterbacks. I mean, Jamar Smith started the season as a starter the last 2 years. But after seeing what Alex Magoo was able to do in there, I wonder how long his leash is, knowing the caliber of quarterback play they can get if there's a little bit more juice at the position. So I have Martinez 10 and Corral 9. Again, this comes down to, I think the quarterback room as a whole is very strong, which I think is a kind of a nightmare for UFL fantasy. I think you could see any one of the three emerge and be a legitimate weapon, but the leashes might be short for any of them.
Yeah, and that's why I have Matt Corral here at 10. I have Adrian Martinez down at 15, but I have Matt Corral at 10. I just think a guy with an NFL pedigree is going to be very attractive to Skip as they get ready for this season. Additionally, you know, they have some receiving weapons. Marlon Williams is back. Isaiah Zuber comes over from the Houston Gamblers. Myron Mitchell and Gary Jennings and Victor Bolden aren't slouches. But the big strength is Marcus Baugh, Jay Sternberger, and Jordan Thomas. This is going to be a two tight end offense all day long. And Jamar Smith and Matt Corral will be fine throwing the ball. I have a little less faith in Adrian Martinez just because at a certain point, Matt Corral was an NFL draft pick. And Matt Corral started an NFL game or two. I don't think it was more than two. But Matt Corral can play quarterback. And I think that a competent quarterback can do really well in this offense. I think Jamar is firmly ensconced as the starter right now, but he is not in my locked in starter tier.
I agree. I've got Corral at 9. So again, it's, I like him more than Martinez, but, and I have, spoiler, I have Jamar Smith just a couple spots higher, 7. So it's really just, I want exposure to that, the passing game weapons. Jay Sternberger was a very late cut from the Buffalo Bills. He nearly landed on their practice squad last year. So, I mean, he's firmly in that fringe NFL talent landscape, and he was fantastic last year with Magoo, an absolute red zone weapon. And you got to love that for whoever's slinging the ball in Birmingham. I think, again, like you said, Jamar Smith firmly entrenched to start the year, but I wouldn't be surprised if Corral does enough if he gets some opportunities to overtake him on the depth chart. So I do have him in front of Martinez, and I have Jamar Smith just a few spots higher, just because if he plays competently, they won't necessarily pull the plug on him. And you kind of got to go with who's opening the season at that position, because if they don't do anything to lose the job, then it's tough to pull the plug on them. But ultimately, I love the quarterback room. I have it as the second best real life quarterback room. But the problem is if it ends up, if Jamar Smith fumbles that job to Matt Corral, then that Jamar Smith is not going to help your fantasy team if you drafted him.
If you have three starting quarterbacks in your quarterback room, your fantasy quarterback room is awful. At number 9, I went Jalen McClendon because I think every year in spring football, there's been a quarterback, a mobile quarterback who gets a lot of work in the goal line packages and other specialty packages. Last year it was Derek King. In the original AAF in 2019, we saw it with Marquise Williams down there in San Antonio. He got a ton of goal line work and they used him exclusively in the 1 and 2 and 3 point packages. So I think Jalen McClendon is going to be that guy this year. So if I can't lock down a starter and I'm in like an 8-team league, I'm feeling okay about taking a shot on the Roughnecks quarterback, a Roughnecks quarterback and Jalen McClendon. And I'm going to stick both of them on my roster. So I'm going to bet our 1 through 7 are the same. So let's do 8 and then let's talk the guys. I'm going to bet we have 1 through 7 because I'm thinking your 8 is who you think the Roughnecks starter is going to be.
Yeah, I have Reece Sinnott there at number 8. I'm not a fan. I don't like the Houston quarterback room at all. Rule of thumb, if a quarterback has a YouTube highlight reel named Trash Can Bad Decision Making, they're probably not a quarterback you want on your fantasy team. Unfortunately, Jared Garantano has that distinction. Look him up specifically for pronunciation purposes today. I didn't want to fumble through his name. So, and I just laughed when I saw that. And I thought, man, like this, the Houston quarterback room is easily the worst in the league. I think it's going to be a revolving door. And I really just want no part of that room if I can help it. I want one of the top 6 quarterbacks, and I would rather roll the dice on some of the names that we'd mentioned before, basically from a roster construction standpoint. So while I have Sinnott 8, I would just avoid him entirely and either wait a little bit longer and grab a backup or make sure that I have one of our top 7 quarterbacks ahead of him. He's kind of in no man's land, essentially.
I had Jared Quartano there just because I texted some Tennessee friends and I said, so like, talk to me about Jared. How is he? And they're like, he's not bad. He's good. He can do some stuff. And you know what I like about him? He's mobile. If I got to have a bad thrower, I want a mobile quarterback. Reed Sinnott is the definition of a statue. So I want nothing to do with Reed Sinnott. Give me that. And Jared Quartano just is going to fit. This is going to be a run early, run off, and Roughnecks team coming over, bringing the gamblers mindset. It's going to be all Mark Thompson and TJ Pledger this year, folks. Yep. You know, maybe you want a tight end. Maybe, but there's no receivers here that are jumping off the page to me. I don't think I had a Roughnecks receiver ranked. Yeah, my first Roughnecks receivers are 16 and 17 in my fantasy rankings. So nothing to do with them.
No, I'm fully aboard that. I worry, and I also worry about the running game to an extent. If they're in a hole, you can only run the ball when you're in a neutral game script and within striking distance. Once it gets out of hand,
you can run the ball whenever you want. It won't be successful to win the game.
Yes, correction. Yes,
and Mark Thompson and TJ Pledger can battering ram any defense into the ground.
Yeah.
So, and if you want to make sure that you see your favorite UFL team this year, you need to make sure that you check out Game Time. Okay. So I remember I was trying to get folks to go to a Bills game with me. We were trying to get good seats. This was in the drought era when they were bad, but we still loved them. And I got some great seats about 3 rows back from the field. And Jerry Hughes did a scoop and score off of Johnny Manziel and jumped right into the stands. And I was on the end seat and I got to sprint down. And all I can think about now is that if I used Game Time, I would have saved so much money on that because Ticketmaster just rates you over the coals. Other sites are just terrible with it. So use Game Time right now, okay? They're your go-to app for last-minute tickets. You need to snag those tickets with Game Time. Create an app. Use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and use that. You're going to get pictures of your seat before you go. You're going to get exclusive flash deals. You're going to get everything you need. And if you find the tickets in the same section in a better spot, they're going to credit you 110% of the difference. So they're going to set you up. All right. Now, lastly, you may have noticed I'm wearing an awesome Charlotte Hornets football jersey, folks. Josh, I think, is wearing a good jersey as well. I imagine you got it from our friends at Royal Retros. All right. Looking to prove that you are the ultimate alt football degen, what better way to show everyone than a killer jersey from your favorite retro football league? Royal Retros has you covered for all your alt football needs, whether you're an OG XFL fan, a 1980s USFL fan, a World Football League fan, or anything in between. Royal Retros has you covered. Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets, sweatshirts, and more from the old school sports league and teams that you know and love. Visit them over at royalretros.com ASAP. Use promo code AFS for 10% off your order today. That's code AFS at royalretros.com and take 10% off today. Gosh, I got to ask, is that a Royal Retros?
It is. And after that ad read, I got to get two things in. First, go Bills. I'm a Central New Yorker, and I've attended many Bills games over the years.
Oh, so nice. I'm from Rochester originally.
Oh, excellent. Yep, right up the road in Auburn. So
I lived in Auburn for a bit. Get out of town.
Small world.
I lived over on Court Street for 2 years.
I'm over on Orchard. So
okay, there we go.
Yeah, West End. And second, you are correct. This is my Sam Mills now defunct Stars jersey from Royal Retros. I couldn't wait to get it last year. It is just the high quality that Adri promises. The nice stitched down lettering and great. Heavy duty. I love this. Wonderful.
No, it's comfortable. It's breathable. I got a Maurice Smith Charlotte Hornets jersey from when they're football. So that's been great. All right. So let's start talking about it. Coming in at number 7.
I got
it. Number 7.
J'Mar Smith. I mean, I feel like he's got a lot of heat on him, but if he can hold that job, it's an offense you want to be invested in. I mean, Birmingham's been a wagon in spring football, and they can hang some points. We saw what Alex Magoo did in the offense last year. Obviously I don't hold J'Mar to that level at all. Magoo is now on the Green Bay Packers practice squad. And I mean, that just speaks to the kind of tools and talent he displayed last year. But I have him slotted in 7.
That just feels low for J'Mar Smith. I mean, J'Mar's athletic. He knows the offense. He has a good set of weapons. And I think that J'Mar could have had that season last year that Alex Magoo have. I'm not going to hold that decreased 2022 season against him because it was his first year. He still had a highly productive year. Threw for 14 touchdowns against only 8 picks, as well as rushed for, only rushed for 191 and 2 touchdowns. And so now with a 1, 2, and 3-point conversion on the table, I just think J'Mar Smith's going to be higher up there. So for me, J'Mar Smith's coming in at number 5 for me. He's right there under my top 4. And I'm going to imagine that we have a probably pretty similar breakdown here. Because my numbers, J'Mar Smith, though, familiar with the offense, has the trust of his coach, feels like the guy that's going to get it done for that team. Coming in at my number 7, I had EJ Perry. And I just think EJ Perry is a solid quarterback. Last year he came in, he had a great one game sample size, 15.6 fantasy points, threw for 121. And ran for 48 yards as well and a touchdown. And that was in one game. That was in one game where he came in that week or the week before, if I recall. So he can get it done. I just don't know that I overly trust him in the way that I trust some of these more veteran guys, because it could be a one game fluke. He does have some good receiving options, mostly Trey Quinn, Marcus Sims and Devin Gray are the guys that I'm really looking for. And he has running backs to check it down to. But he has what you want in spring football. He has job security, because I definitely don't trust Danny Etling.
No, I agree. I'm actually quite bullish on EJ Perry, and I'll give some credit to Jake Tribby over at Fantasy Points for pointing out the lineage for Michigan's new offensive coordinator coming from the Bart Andrews pass happy tree. So I really like the offense, and the fact that he's got Devin Gray and Jordan Sewell in that offense who are familiar with it. And I like Perry's rushing ability. I mean, you have to go back to his Ivy League days at Brown to really get a bigger sample, but he did run in his opportunity last year. So I like the offensive environment. I do like some of the pass catchers, namely Trey Quinn. He really locked in on him during his start. So I am intrigued by Perry. I have him a bit higher up the board. just because I like that offensive environment. And again, like you said, I love the job security. I'm not worried about him losing that job. And I mean, in spring football with the overturn at the position, job security is such a huge, crucial component of selecting your quarterback.
Yeah. So where'd you have him slotted in again? I forgot. Sorry.
I didn't mention it. I'll drop that bombshell here. I've got him third.
Really?
Yeah, but really
that's
comes down
aggressive.
To, I mean, I've got the Stars jersey on, so I'm obviously a Bart Andrews sucker. I love what he did with Case Cookus, and before that, I'm drawing a name blank. I apologize. Bart Scott or
Brian Scott.
Brian Scott, yes. Sorry to him, but go Argonauts, I suppose. But but yeah, I mean, he had that offense humming, and if his protege is anything like him, I think the environment's too good for Perry to completely face plant, and I think there might be some ceiling there. The sample is concerning, but I'm willing to take a bit of a swing, again, with that with the confidence in him keeping the job. So even if he's a little shaky early on, I think this is a case where maybe once he settles in, you've got some significant upside there. So I'm willing to take a bit of a swing there. But it was close between him for the third and the fourth spot. The fourth quarterback I love as well. So that's that was a real toss-up spot for me.
I mean, I just – one game is good, but the other guys who I have ahead of him have produced more over an extended period of time. And I like their offensive – I like their skill position players just a bit more. And that's really what a big differentiator for me is who do you have to throw the ball to? Because like we saw it last year that if you don't have anything and you're not athletic, you can't do anything. Now, EJ Perry might climb, but the problem is for him is the next guy on my list, Luis Perez, coming in at number six.
Same.
Ensconced as the starter. Like Luis Perez is spring football. He's going to have a spring football job until he decides to hang it up and go coach somewhere. And the thing that holds him down though for me is yes, they have Sal Cannella, and yes, but I can't figure out who their pass catchers are going to be. And that has me worried.
I have Perez six as well. Same issue. Sal Cannella, I like Deontay Burnett. I think he's a good addition to that receiving room. But generally speaking, the weapons feel a little lackluster. And I'm going to be concerned if they bring in a different stylistic quarterback as his backup. Right now, they don't have a backup listed on the team's official website. If they bring in a mobile quarterback, I mean, would Bob Stoops do something similar to what the New Jersey Generals did and have a mobile quarterback to spell and use some rushing opportunities or on the conversions, as you've mentioned, with some other quarterback situations? I'm not sure, but Perez's ceiling's capped a bit with the lack of mobility and less impressive weaponry than some of the quarterbacks ahead of him. So I've got him slotted in six as well.
Yeah. I think just as we're looking at the quarterbacks, you know, Colton Ehlers is his backup technically.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. You're good. And then I thought Lindsey Scott was there and I've seen him listed places, but I guess something might've happened there or maybe they haven't updated. But I thought Lindsey Scott was on that roster as well. And Lindsey Scott does fit that more mobile passing. And he's been a guy who's been hyped because he sets all sorts of records with Incarnate Word.
Yeah.
So Lindsey Scott might threaten him. Holton Ehlers, I don't think is going to.
I don't either.
But I think that's firmly Luis Perez's. I think that's firmly Luis Perez's job. So we talked about EJ Perry. We talked about Luis Perez. And we talked about Jamar Smith, which means we're down to four now. So this is your guy at five. Who do you have at number five?
Jordan Te'amu. And it comes down to my concern with the loss of the passing game weapons that he had last year. I love Kiki Kuti, as you brought up earlier. I think that as the season goes along and that rapport builds, that can be a game-changing talent for him. But that loss of Abram Smith and the run-heavy tendencies of the offense last year, I think capped his ceiling to an extent, and I guess I just can't entirely erase the memory of his season with the Tampa Bay Bandits. But again, how much of that falls at the coaching feet and how much of that falls at his feet? But I mean, he's firmly entrenched as a starter, which is huge, as we've you know, belabored that point the entire podcast, that security is a big deal, but I just have a little bit more faith in the four guys ahead of him.
So, I mean, Talamu slots in at number three for me. And okay. As I'm looking at it, this is a guy who owns over the three full modern spring football seasons, he owns two of the top 10 quarterback performances on a points per game basis. And yes, we got to look at those 12 picks with Tampa Bay with the Bandits 2 years ago. But I think as I look and consider that, that was really hit that team being devoid of weapons. He did all of that despite having nobody to throw the ball to. And to me, that's super impressive. And that's just what I'll always go back to is like Jordan Talamu's a veteran right now of three spring football seasons. He was just dynamic as a spring football, as a rookie with the St. Louis, with the original St. Louis Battle Hawks. And when they had the Battle Dome rocking back in 2020, and it's just continued since then. And he's a guy who has the arm and the athleticism. And if they decide to give him the 1, 2, and 3 point plays and don't give those to McClendon, he could climb up to me, threaten that two spot. Right now he's in the three spot for me, pretty firmly ensconced. It's just the talent's there, the arm's there, and it's his first time ever having a second year in the system. Quarterbacks in the second year of the system are going to take a step forward. We talked about the improved weapons. I'm a Talamu believer. He's slotting in at number three for me. So, and real quick, before we get to our final three quarterbacks, we got, you know, because Jordan Talamu is a champ, okay? And Champs Sports Pool is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $1,000. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you'll get a free extra entry into their bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who entered first, so make sure you register now so you don't miss out. It starts in the Sweet 16, just a heads up, so you have time still to get your pool up there, and you have time to get it there. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. And lastly, we're also sponsored by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL, UFL, whatever else season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytic platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA, NFL, soccer bet, everything with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. I don't think they'll have UFL quite yet, but we're going to get there. I am sure we will get there as it continues to grow. All right. We know you have EJ Perry in the top three.
I do.
So my curiosity is which of the guys, I know you bumped Talamu down. Who is the other guy you bumped down below EJ Perry?
So my four, and this was a real pivot spot for me, who was nearly my three, and I'm going to, if I was on the clock in a draft right now at Alt Fantasy Sports, I would be sweating bullets and taking it down to the final second between EJ Perry and Quinton Dormady. I love AJ Smith's offense. I love the weaponry. Smaller sample size than the two quarterbacks I have listed in one and two in my rankings, but I love the offensive environment. I love the fact that Wade Phillips keeps his hands off the offense. Despite the defensive leanings, he lets AJ Smith cook, and he lets his offense air it out to Smith's heart's content. And I think that bodes well for Dormady. The connection, the built-in connection and rapport with Cody Latimer, I think is huge. I think it gives him a leg up on the quarterbacks that I have behind him in the rankings. And I love Jontre Kirkland's familiarity with AJ Smith's offense and his ability to get vertical and maybe even open up some of that middle of the field and intermediate stuff for Cody Latimer. So I really love the weaponry. The more I talk about it, the more it makes it difficult to put Perry ahead of him, but I've got them in the same bucket. I'd love to be the person in the draft room that gets the second of those two so that I can get the better pick in the on the comeback on the snake. So let's put it that way.
I mean, I don't blame you right there. I also had Quentin Dormady at four, behind Jordan Taumu and the other two guys we still haven't talked about. It's all the things you mentioned there. It's that offense. It's that quarterback friendly nature. AJ Smith, for everybody thinking he's been an unknown, this is going to be his third season as an offensive coordinator, because he was the offensive coordinator for that dynamic Roughnecks team in 2020. He was the coordinator for this team last year, and the Roughnecks really fell apart when they lost Jontre Kirkland. Jontre Kirkland was the engine that made that offense go last year. When they lost him, they just couldn't replace it. This year, though, like we said, they have Landon Akers, who's going to work and carve up the slot like Nick Holly did in 2020. You know, they got guys like Katie Cannon, Matt Landers, Marquez Stevenson, given some big size, as well as Vasher and Vise. You know, there are some big physical receivers in this offense who can win over the middle of the field. And there's Cody Latimer and Alize Mack. When was the last time you saw an air raid offense trot out two tight ends? Never. And both of them are dynamic and capable receivers. And when I look at the running backs, John Lovett and Bryson Aline are okay. I don't love them, but this feels like it's going to be a classic air raid offense. And Quentin Dormady looked great last year. You know, we all, if you heard nothing else about the XFL, you probably heard the rumor that Quentin Dormady had shared the playbook, which in actuality was him texting his buddy and saying, "Man, I'm not playing. Can you believe they started Quentin Flowers over me?" To which all of us say, "Yeah, we can't believe it either."
There's a reason the Guardians struggled mightily last year, and it was not Quentin Dormady. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, there was some question, you know, it was nice to see some first-time head coaches get an opportunity, but it was very apparent why some of them had not gotten a look yet, and they definitely struggled. Quentin Dormady, I can't say enough good things about him. I think he's going to have a huge season this year. The top four guys, so could go in any order for me in actuality, because I think these guys are in a top two tiers all by themselves. That's a lie. Number one is number one. The next three could go in any order for me. So I'm going to bet we have the same number two then.
That would be Case Cookus. Yep. And I love what John DeFilippo did with McLeod Bethel Thompson last year. I like what he did with the New Orleans Breakers offense in general. And I think that the transition from Bart Andrews to DeFilippo is going to be fine for Case Cookus. He's got ample weapons. Jay Adams is a monster. Sage Surratt. And I think they're going to have the running game to keep defenses honest. I mean, Darius Victor is a hammer. If you want to go light boxes, he's going to move the ball and put them in scoring range. If you want to load the box to try and stop him, Case Cookus is going to beat you over the top. And he brings a running element. I mean, and that's can't be overlooked in spring football. If you've got that combination of the arm and the mobility to pick up some yardage and scamper into the end zone occasionally, that's just such a value add. And so I'm a big Case Cookus guy, and that's my guy for number two.
I mean, Case Cookus in each of his two USFL seasons had more than 200 yards, 277 in 2023 and 217 in 2022. Only one rushing touchdown, though. That feels like an opportunity for him to increase that. As well, as I've talked about before, you have the 1, 2, and 3 point plays now on the table. So if he's throwing or running that in, you're getting 1, 2, or 3 points from him on that. And again, we talked about Jonathan Anderson, Rashad Davis. Trey Williams also is a phenomenal add to that team. Trey Williams is one of the best backs in the UFL. He was severely underutilized last year. He's a spectacular player. I think John DeFilippo can find a good use for him. And I think that's going to be a great 1-2 punch with Victor and Williams coming out of the backfield. Again, the only thing that might have me a little nervous is Troy Williams could steal the 1, 2, and 3 and the goal line work, which if you're losing out on that short yardage, you're losing out on some short fields and some easy opportunities, but it's not going to be for want of weapons that Case Cookus struggles.
No, but it's not going to be for a lack of a creative play calling head coach that gives them opportunities either. So the coaching infrastructure and the offensive weapons, just they really elevate his ceiling and give him a floor as long as he can fend off Troy Williams. So yep, I'm on the same page. Really love Case Cookus. Feel like he was a comfortable number two for me.
Yeah, and we talked about number one at the top of the show, AJ McCarron. You know, we said the next three could probably be in any order for the tier, but AJ McCarron is just number one. I mean, again, I think early season prediction, he throws for 30 touchdowns this year. If he plays all 10, he's getting 30 and setting that modern spring record. No one has even come close to that number before. I think he was the closest in last year. Hold on, I need to check one thing because no extra points doesn't work anymore. That was devastating. This is a sad day. I didn't know they stopped working. Yeah, no, nobody's even come close to his numbers. I was like, I can't remember how many Garrett Gilbert had in 2019. The answer is 13, nowhere near the 24 AJ McCarron posted last year. So, you know, again, this team's going to throw early, throw often. The offense, in theory, took a hit with Jacquir Pearson going on IR, but then you remember that they have Marcel Ateman, Blake Jackson, and Darius Shepherd waiting in the wings to take over.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an embarrassment of riches. I mean, and he will, ideally, as long as barring any setbacks, Jacquir Pearson's expected to return this season. So, I mean, if you get him back at near fantasy championship time, it's wheels up for AJ McCarron just lighting the world on fire. I mean, he played NFL snaps last year for the Cincinnati Bengals. He really is in a tier of his own. He's just, I mean, he's an NFL caliber backup quarterback, probably one of the top 64 quarterbacks on the planet, irrespective of what pro football league he plays in. I'd say an underrated but not terribly important factor for his ranking is he gets to play indoors at home. I mean, he doesn't have to deal with any elements. That's just a kind of the cherry that you drop on top. But, I mean, he should absolutely light up the league with just an embarrassment of riches in the passing attack, a lot of ways to carve up defenses. Good luck taking everyone away from him.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. No matter what the defenses do, they're going to be carved up. Honestly, I thought maybe they'd make a move and trade one of these receivers for a back. I mean, Steven Mitchell could be valuable to somebody, and he's sitting there like sixth on their depth chart, you know, yep, because he's not going to get snaps over Butler. Blake Jackson was spectacular last year in limited work in Seattle. Darius Shepherd was the wide receiver. I believe it was wide receiver two last year in the XFL. I was wrong. Wide receiver five in the XFL last year. And we're just like, yeah, Darius Shepherd. Darius Shepherd was low down in my rankings because he's competing with Blake Jackson, Marcel Ateman, and in theory, whatever Jacquir Pearson comes back as. So I love Darius Shepherd. I just think the only receiver whose workload isn't impacted is Akeem Butler's.
Same.
Because he's just absolutely dominant. You know, he, if it hadn't been for Jacquir Pearson lighting the world on fire, I think he would have set a modern spring football record with 599, but Jacquir Pearson at 670.
Yeah, thanks, June Jones. I mean, June Jones just let him light it up in Seattle, and I mean, it's just wild that receiving core is going to feature, between Shepherd, Butler, eventually Pearson, Blake Jackson. You've got four guys who were in like the top eight, I believe, in receiving yards last year in the XFL. That's just bananas. And I mean, Marcel Ateman missed time last year. If you get a full season from him, it's just like, I mean, what else do you want from AJ McCarron? He just is the safest, highest ceiling, and I don't care that he can't run. There's no reason to care.
It doesn't matter.
When you're throwing for 30 touchdowns, like we're prognosticating, it doesn't matter. I mean,
well, it's that he only threw six picks last year, and you know, he didn't turn the ball over, and sneakily, he ran for 100 yards last year and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, like that's just gravy.
It is. Every bit of that is gravy, and the 1, 2, and 3 point plays, they have no fear. you know, of the 1, 2, and 3-point plays, because they have Akeem Butler, who's a red zone monster, and Jake Sutherland's no slouch either. And Mateo Durant and Wayne Gallman are fine, but I don't think they're going to break the bank necessarily.
No, and when you have those skyscraper pass catchers in the red zone, I mean, I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of that too short celebration after 2 and 3-point tries when Butler's skying over his undersized corner that's trying to keep up with them, or Aitman's dunking on him at the back of the end zone. I mean, like, good luck keeping up with these guys. And McCarron's got the type of pinpoint accuracy where he's going to put it up where only his guy can get it. Why would you take the ball out of his hands in scoring territory? And Bruce Gradkowski and Anthony Becht didn't last year. I don't expect that to change this year.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Josh, thank you for joining us. You know, great talking UFL football. I know I'm excited for the season, getting the leagues all set. We will be doing the Alt Fantasy Experts League again, so I'll hit you up. We'll make sure we get you in that. I don't remember if you were in it last year or not. It's been a whirlwind year. But it's going to be great. Josh, you got anything coming out that you want to plug or get folks excited about?
Nothing on the horizon just yet, but I will be chipping in some UFL content throughout the season, and I'll be posting it on socials. So if you're following me there, you'll see when it comes out.
There we go. All right. He's Josh Shepherdson. Make sure you check out his work over at Fantasy Pros. I'm Adam Pelletier for Alt Fantasy Sports and SGPN. On Alt Fantasy Sports, make sure you check if you're interested in doing rankings. Hit me up on Twitter. I'll get you set up. We'll get your rankings uploaded into the system. If you're interested, check it out, y'all. We got player notes this year. Add your thoughts to the players for everybody to see. Upvote, emoji vote. We got all sorts of emojis. Josh, did you see the player notes yet on the player pages?
I have not. That, I mean, it literally put a smile on my face when you dropped that. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, go add your comments. It's great. Add your comment, update your comment, keep your comment rolling. Give people some advice. It's going to be great. We kind of soft launched it. We're playing around with everything. We're trying to build the community side of things. We're building the content that's available on the site, making it your one-stop shop. So that's been really exciting. And we got some big, exciting news coming out about some other partnerships. If you can read the stuff on my whiteboard, you get a teaser of it, and that's why it's there. But thank you very much for joining us tonight, and we will see you next time.